Well, I'm going to talk about material dispersion effects in fiber gratings, in light propagation in fiber gratings, and in particular the kind of structures that appear, how they are modified by the effect of material dispersion. So what's a fiber grating? Well, a fiber grating is just fiber optics with a periodic variation of the refraction index along the fiber, along the length of the fiber. If the light that's propagating has the appropriate frequency, then we have a spatial resonances between the light and the grating, and some interesting phenomena appears. This kind of devices, these fiber gratings, can be manufactured to be just a few centimeters long, and they can contain up to tens of thousands of oscillations of the grating. So those are extended systems, one-dimensional extended systems. Also, these things are applied to measure, to sense small displacements, because if we glue one of these gratings to some structure and this structure is stretched, then the grating is stretched and then its resonance properties change and we can measure this displacement. Also, the combination of the reflection of light at the grating and the nonlinearity of the fiber can produce, at least theoretically, some localized states that travel with zero velocity that do not propagate, so we can have fiber gratings with the we can have fiber grating with a packet of light inside. So this possibility of trapping light is very promising from the point of view of developing optical storage devices. So what kind of model I'm going to use? The simplest one of a fiber grating is just a one-dimensional set of Maxwell-Lorentz equations. I have one-dimensional Maxwell equations for the electromagnetic fields, magnetic, electric, and displacement, and also a Lorentz oscillator for the media response of the polarization response of the media to the electric field. So here we have, I think, rescaled everything. I've rescaled everything, so the period of the grating is pi. This is the grating term. This delta n here is the strength of the grating. And this is the only nonlinearity. It's a Kerr-type nonlinearity. It's the only nonlinearity of the fiber. So I'm going to analyze these equations in the weakly nonlinear regime, in which I have very small strength of the grating. I have a standard system with a lot of oscillations inside, oscillations of the grating inside. And the amplitudes of the fields are small. The system has several symmetries, for example, time invariant symmetry, because this is a system without this, sorry, time reflection invariant symmetry. This is because this system is has no dissipation at all. It's also an autonomous system, and it has also spatial reflection symmetry. Now, if we look at the linear propagation characteristic of this fiber when there is no grating for a uniform fiber, we can linearize the equation and look for solution with the form of a traveling wave. K is the wave number of this wave train, and omega is its frequency. We put into the equation, we get a dispersion relation that looks like this, very ugly. And we have basically two different branches. One is typical propagation of the Maxwell equation, and there's another branch that corresponds to, that's dominated by the dynamics at the oscillator, at the polarization oscillations. So if we add the grating effect, we can see that the effect of the grating over one of these wave trains is just like this. We have a cosine of x multiplying the wave train, and this modifies the wave number k plus and minus 2. So the effect of the grating is a resonant effect only if the wave number of the wave train is plus and minus 1. So we have here a spatial resonance, and the period of the grating just selects the light with a period that's twice as big. Okay, so there's a parametric spatial resonance. And it couples, basically couples both wave trains, the right going wave train and the left going wave train. So the weakly nonlinear analysis of this problem, it's straightforward. And what one can do is just to look for solutions of this form, just a composition of two counter-propagating traveling waves with wave numbers plus and minus 1, with some small amplitudes a plus and a minus, that depend slowly on space and on time. Here I'm saying that the A plus and A minus are slow modulations, and the basic, the microscale here is of order one. So these things depend on much longer time and spatial scales, and also the strength of the grating is very small. So if we put take these ansatz to the equation and we expand and apply solvability conditions, we get this amplitude equation that gives us the slow time evolution of the envelopes A plus and A minus. And this corresponds basically to analyzing what's going on in a near band of wave numbers near the critical ones, plus one and minus one. So we have these equations can be anticipated easily. We have linear terms here that are group velocity and dispersion that correspond to just the power expansion of the dispersion relation at the critical wave numbers. We have the coupling between the wave term because of the grating, and some conservative nonlinear terms. The group velocity has opposite signs, and in this case, when we have this reflection symmetry, we have one wave term propagating in one direction and the other wave term propagating in the other. It's not possible to get rid of the effect of the transport effect of the group velocity. We cannot move we cannot use a moving reference frame to get rid of this term. So we have the main effect is just transport at the group velocity, and then we have more correction. The first one correction is a dispersion. This term has to be always as small as compared with this other one because of the slow modulation assumption. And what typically people from fiber optics do is just to drop completely, to neglect completely these dispersive terms. And I'm going to show you that this is not a good idea because this is a singular perturbation problem. So I'm going to consider this amplitude equation, that is this fiber grating, in the simplest possible geometry. That's a ring geometry in which the length of the ring is an integral multiple of the period of the basic wave trains. And we can make some rescalings just to absorb some parameter in this equation. We can change space and time and the size of the amplitude. So we can make the length of the ring one, the group velocity one, and also we can make one some of the nonlinear coefficients. Well, if we make all these rescalings, then we here K or kappa is the rescaled strength of the grating. That's now order one. And now these two effects we have in the system, that's group velocity and dispersion, the system do not forget about these two different effects, and we get here a small term epsilon, that's 1 divided by L. And then this interesting limit from the point of view of pattern formation, from the point of view of a slow envelope description, is the limit of epsilon going to zero. If we drop these terms, when epsilon going to zero, we get what is called a nice system of hyperbolic equations that's called nonlinear coupled mode equations. And people from fiber optics have studied the simple solution that are uniform solution that are called continuous waves, and also some more complicated solution that are pulse-like and that are called gap solitons. And there has been also some studies of these equations with these dispersion terms, but these studies cover only the case of dispersion of order one, okay? And this is not the interesting case from the point of view of pattern formation. The interesting limit is epsilon going to zero. So what I'm going to do is to look at the effect of this term with epsilon going to zero. If this limit, as you probably know, it's a singular limit because you have a small term multiplying the highest derivative, so you cannot drop this term because scales of the order of square root of epsilon can appear, and for these scales, this cannot be neglected. So what I'm going to do to show that these terms are important is that I'm going to analyze the stability of the simplest possible solutions that are uniform solution, uniform continuous waves, with and without this term, and I will see that the results are completely different. So if we neglect dispersion, that is the same as if we drop these terms, what we're saying is that our solutions have scales that are always of order 1. We don't have these square root of epsilon scales that are called dispersive scales. These small scales are small as compared with the total length of the ring, but are still large as compared with the basic wavelength of the system. The basic wavelength of the grating is now, with this new scaling, is epsilon. So this is an intermediate envelope that comes from the fact that we have dispersion. This is the typical scaling of the nonlinear Schrödinger or Ginzburg-Landau equations, but here we have another scaling because of the presence of the group velocity. Okay, so we have a transport scaling and dispersive scaling. So what happens if we drop these dispersive terms? Well, these are these uniform solutions that the continuous wave solutions. Those are basically uniform solutions that are composition of two uniform counterpropagating wave trains. And it's a two-parameter family with rho and theta as the parameters. Rho is the strength, the light inside the fiber, and theta is measures the composition, how much of each of the wave trains do we have. So alpha and m and just the correction of the wave number and the correction of the frequency, and if we plot the correction of the wave number versus the frequency, we get this typical dispersion relation in which a gap of forbidden frequencies opens up, and this is a typical situation in light propagation in periodic media. And well, if we study the stability of these solutions, well, I'm going to represent these solutions in this rho square theta plane. Each point on this plane is a continuous wave, it's a uniform solution, and the stability results without dispersion look like this. We have three different instability boundaries. Shading here is correspond to instability, so we have one instability boundary that's a zero wave number instability. What I'm plotting here is a sketch of the growth rate of the different perturbation modes against the wave number. So when we cross this line, we have a situation like this. It's a zero wave number instability. For each value of the strength of the grating, we have to select one of these lines, and then over this line, everything is unstable. And when we cross this line, what we have is a fixed wave number instability that's written here. And this third instability boundary is much more interesting, because when we cross it, what we have is something like this, that all the wave numbers from all modes from a given wave number on are unstable. And this is not physically very coherent, because modes with very high wave number do not resonate with anything, and they should not be unstable. I mean, they should be neutral, but there's no physics that makes them unstable. So if we add dispersion to this system, what we have to do is to apply a multiple scales method and to analyze the perturbations with the scales of the order of square root of epsilon. If we analyze perturbation with the scales of the order of square root of epsilon, what happens is that at first order we get that this very fast oscillation just propagate. These two terms dominate, and what happens is that the group velocity is a dominant effect, and this this fast perturbation just propagate with the group velocity. And then at the next order, what we get is that dispersion and nonlinearity and the strength of the grating comes into play. And the result we get, let's try to this for the stability of the continuous waves against perturbation containing small dispersive scales when we have dispersion. The result is like this. When the dispersion is positive, all this region is unstable. And when dispersion is negative, all this region here is unstable. So no matter what's the sign of the dispersion, and no matter what's the size of the dispersion, we have this dispersive instability present. And in this case, when we're here, the effect or the stability of this dispersive scales just closes this bubble of instability that appeared in the, let's say, transport regime. But there are other cases, like here and here, where the equations without dispersion predicted stability. This is the regime without dispersion terms. And if we add dispersion, we find now a new instability that's purely dispersive. I mean, it's not there if we drop the dispersion. So what kind? I'm going to show you some numerical simulation that check these predictions. Here, I'm running, I'm plotting the norm of the amplitudes versus time and the norm of the spatial derivative of the amplitude versus time. For negative dispersion, nothing happens. The continuous wave is a standing wave. It's a standing wave pattern that's perfectly stable. But if we change the sign of the dispersion, then you can see that something happened. Something is developing. The norm of the derivative is growing. Some inhomogeneities are appearing. And if we reduce the value of the dispersion, the slope, the growth rate of this intermediate scale that's of order unity do not change. It is still of order unity. It's a singular perturbation problem, and the development of these dispersive instabilities is of order one. So what kind of, this is a snapshot of the solution of the amplitudes, of the modulus of the amplitudes at in the previous, at the beginning of the instability, and we see that for a value of the dispersion that 10 up to minus 3, we have some instability developing with a certain wave number. But if we divide this dispersion by 4, what we get is approximately the double number of peaks. So the wavelength of the instability goes like a square root of epsilon, as the theory predicts. And the kind of patterns that appear are very complicated. I mean, this kind of instability produces very complicated spatial temporal patterns, like the one I'm plotting here. This is an XT diagram of both amplitudes. This is A plus and this is A minus. Here is X, and time is going upwards. And for this situation, without dispersion, the nonlinear coupled mod equation predicted, again, a uniform stable standing wave. And what really happens, no matter how small the dispersion is that you get these ripples and this very complicated spatiotemporal pattern. Notice that for a small time, these ripples just propagate with the group velocity. But for times of order one, they also evolve, merge, disappear, and grow, producing a very complicated pattern. Notice that these amplitudes are modulations of a much, much faster spatial scale, so that complete pattern is, we have to add here a small, very fast oscillation, and to add this, and we have also to add this to amplitudes. Then just finish by saying that this nonlinear coupled mode equation that take account only of nonlinearity and transport are not complete. We should take into account dispersion terms, and this is a singular limit. I mean, the kind of things that appear are not longer time scale effects. No, this is a singular limit that appears in the transport time scale and produces small intermediate scales. And what is most important is that this is not a particular situation for this particular system of light propagation in a fiber grating. You're going to have these things in a very generic situation when you have a oscillatory bifurcation at the given wave number and you have reflection symmetry, then you have these two counter-propagating wave trains, and then you're going to have this competition between the effect of the group velocity and the effect of dispersion or diffusion if the system is dissipative. And then you have these two possible scaling, and you have the big scaling that's given by the transport at the group velocity, and then there's also the possibility of a smaller modulation that's the typical modulation size of the Ginsburg-Landau or the nonlinear Schrödinger. It's dispersion or diffusion dominated. And this is all I wanted to say.
Time for one or two questions, Harry?
I had two questions. One was, if I understood you correctly, all your solutions remained existing, just that their stability changed when you put in this epsilon. Okay, so I just wanted to make sure you understood that. The other question is, when you start getting the small n scale, is the reduction to nonlinear Schrodinger equation still valid for the original system? I mean, you had to assume some type of multiple scale analysis and ordering of terms in the original problem, and now you're finding that that ordering is breaking down. So is
it
still?
It does not break. The thing is that you have two slow scales. Okay, so you have a fast scale that's a grating scale, or the basic wave string scale, and then you have this dispersive scaling that's a slow, and then you have an even larger possible scaling that's given by the group velocity. So both scales are large as compared with the basic wavelength.
Epsilon.
That's it. Epsilon is the smallest one. Square root of epsilon is the dispersive and one is the top one. So both are slow modulations. These are described by amplitude equations without any problem. But if you rescale everything, then you see this intermediate scale as small. Okay, but it's small, but it's still. Well, it depends. You mean that terms like AXXXXX or something?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, this is a. Sorry, I made. Well, if the system is dissipative, this is no problem because you have a dissipation and dissipation cut things and say, okay, these are damped out by diffusion if you have dissipation. But if you don't have dissipation, what happens is that the region in which you can have interaction in a conservative system is a small region. It goes up to dispersion, but no further. I mean, if you go further, then there's no interaction and nothing happens, just trivial dynamics or long time dynamics. The thing here is that this is a singular problem in the sense that this is not a long-term correction. This appears at the first order.
Okay, any other quick question?
This is analogous to what you get, I've got now, the Benjamin Fair chaos. I mean, what you get just near an ordinary Hopf bifurcation.
Hopf, single Hopf.
Near an oscillatory instability.
With a double Hopf.
And there you get chaos right at threshold due to the Benjamin Fair instability, like you would see in convection in mixtures. This is analogous to that, right? It's chaotic right at threshold.
Well, the point here is that there's no clear threshold because this is a conservative system that you just put the solution and it oscillates.
Okay.
So there's not a real pumping or nothing.
Right, there's no threshold, but it, so,
this,
right, but...
But you can have this combination of group velocity and diffusion.
Right.
In the case of the oscillatory instability.
Right.
In particular, for example, in the Taylor-Couette experiment with the counter-rotating.
That's right. Okay, that's another example.
You can have
and that, so that's analogous to this, right.
Okay, I think we'll leave it there. Let's thank our speakers.